Good afternoon. Today, our guest is Mae McCarthy. Her book is called The Path to Wealth, and she has 7 spiritual steps for financial abundance. Mae, since 1982, has helped to start and grow 6 successful companies as large as $100 million in annual revenues. She is a best-selling author, speaker, university lecturer, and angel investor. She serves on business, philanthropic, arts, and university boards. She has become successful by implementing spiritual principles into her ventures. And it is her passion to pass her knowledge on to others. She is the author of the best-selling book, The Path to Wealth, which is what we're going to talk about today. And you can go to her website, which is www.maymccarthy.com, to get more information. May, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much, Wynn. I'm happy to be here.
Well, everybody that's listening today wants to make more money, they don't know how to do it. I think you're going to give us a little different approach, perhaps, something that they've not considered, which is, where does spirituality come into making money? Why did you write this book with a spiritual basis?
Well, one of the things that I recognized in my 34 years of doing business is that you can rely on something that's unseen and is very intelligent. And because you can't see it, I call it spiritual. Many, many famous and very successful people have said that they've relied on intuition or these gut instincts and things like that to, as part of their success. I mean, Bill Gates said you have to rely on intuition, and Steve Jobs agreed when he said that you actually have to have courage to follow your heart and intuition. And Oprah Winfrey actually said that she has listened to that still small voice of intuition her entire life. And the only times that she's made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And I've done the same thing. I have had thoughts or gut instincts or feelings in my heart or even messages from other people that have pointed me down a path to take a step on the way to achieving my goals. But the way that this works is you actually have to have some goals, and you have to word them in such a way that your intuition and subconscious are going to show up to point you in the right direction.
Can you give me an example?
I sure can. For instance, I got this very strong thought of my sister, and I happened to be finishing up a business appointment. So I knew that that meant I needed to contact her, and I was close to her office. So I just stopped by. She was really happy to see me because she had a computer problem that needed to be fixed, and I could do that for free. And as I was sitting there, she noticed this very small, tiny little dot on the outside of my right leg. And she asked me what it was, and I was raised in Hawaii, and I told her it was a freckle. She said she didn't feel that it was a freckle. And just as I was about to dismiss her fear, my gut started hurting. So I knew, because I've been doing this a while, that that meant I needed to do as she said. And she had advised me to see her dermatologist. So I went to the dermatologist, and I was raised by a surgeon, and he said that any time a doctor gives you advice, you need to follow it because they know more than you do. And here I am sitting at the dermatologist, and he tells me that it's nothing. It's too small, that I can just go home. But again, my gut hurt. So I said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you need to cut that off. I came back a week later to a diagnosis of malignant melanoma, Clark's level 3.
Wow.
So this idea of intuition saved my life. It's also helped me to make millions of dollars by pointing me you know, to drive across town at 9 o'clock at night in Cleveland, only to run into a potential new customer who I was able to get an appointment with because we happened to run into each other at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncanny, and it's beyond the rational mind, but you can trust it. And you build that up by simply by practicing following your intuition. So in my book, I outline a daily routine that helps you to set goals in such a way that your intuition and your gut instincts and your subconscious are going to show up and point you to take steps in the right direction. And the way you do that is by wording your goals with gratitude as though they're already completed.
Would I be wrong in saying that if your goal was, I will make $1 million in sales this first year of business, that that's not exactly what you had in mind?
You can have that as a goal, but what I would recommend is that you word it as though it's already completed. So if you're going to make $1 million in sales, what's happening in your company? What's happening in your personal life? What's happening in your world with that goal already completed? Describe that. So instead of saying, I want to make $1 million, because you've already reached that goal, you already do want to make $1 million in sales, why not word it as though you're saying, I'm so grateful that I have received $1 million in new revenue, and our company is thriving and prospering as a result of this new business. We're able to serve our customers in really remarkable and unique ways, and I love having this financial freedom where we're debt-free, cash flow positive, and profitable at all times and all ways.
Isn't that like a little bit like tricking the universe into bringing that to you by saying I've already got it when you actually don't?
Well, what's happening is it's enabling your intuition and your subconscious to show up in really obvious ways. Really obvious ways. Do you remember the last time that you bought a car?
Yes.
Okay, so most people, when they're going to buy a car, research different models. They talk to their friends and family about cars. They go to the dealership and they test drive them and they think about it and imagine themselves in this car. What happens? Don't you start to notice that car driving around everywhere on the road? You never noticed it before, but now you notice it because it's a goal. And you've already gotten into the habit of talking about it as though it's yours, imagining what it's like to be driving it. You've already done all of the goal attainment practice that I describe in my book. So your subconscious and intuition go on high alert, and they somehow pop up and filter these billions of pieces of data that are coming at us every single day. And they illuminate opportunities for you to take steps to make those goal attainment statements true.
Yeah, I see. It is a fact that if you're positive rather than negative, that the universe will do better by you than if you were negative and said, well, I don't think that I can do this, or I don't think that I can get this car, I want one, but... It's something about the positivity of the situation that draws those things into your path that you're able to, therefore, use to obtain the end result, it seems.
Right, and there's also another benefit to using gratitude and having a positive expectation. And that is, I mean, there's been a ton of brain research done, and some of the greatest research has been done at Cambridge University. And what they proved is that when you have a positive mindset, you're lighting up that front part of your brain, and that's been linked to studies that have shown that you're able to focus and see more possibilities. So by keeping a positive expectation and using gratitude, you're enabling yourself to notice more possibilities to make your statements true. And your statements will become true whether you're talking about what you don't want or what you do want. You're going to see evidence in your world that confirms more of whatever it is that you're talking about.
Right. Okay. Now, my work has been in addiction, and one of the addictions that I find very prominent in our society is negative thinking. And so my question is, what is it that keeps people stuck in the mentality of, I can't do that, and how can they change that?
Well, it's my opinion that part of it is people have been trained with that kind of attitude. You know, perhaps their family, their society, their friends, you know, that's kind of how we figure out who our tribe is going to be, right? People that are like-minded. And if we were growing up and we noticed that we could be accepted by focusing more on negative things, you know, we could be part of the group, part of the family, part of the coworkers, then we end up succumbing to whatever the attitude of the group is. To change that, you have to use your words, thoughts, and emotions. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies that have been done about neural pathways. And neural pathways in our brain are linked to beliefs and behaviors. And it's kind of like if we have a really strong habit, a really strong belief, a really strong behavior, it's kind of like a mind groove. So you might be, imagine riding a bicycle in a groove path. You know, it's hard to get out of that rut. You know, you're stuck in that rut. But if you want a new belief and a new behavior, you have to use your words, thoughts, and emotions in a repetitive process. I like to say repetition reaps rewards. So every morning, you're going to set aside time with yourself to do this goal attainment practice that uses your words, your thoughts, your emotions to describe the life that you do want. And as you continue, imagine a very, very a wonderful field of very tall grass. If you walk a path through the grass one day, you're never even going to notice that you walked that path. But if you walk the same path every single day, eventually you're going to create this new groove, this new path, this new strong belief, this new strong behavior. So this daily routine that I describe in my book, which only takes, you know, 25, 30 minutes in the morning, will train your brain for success. Now, you may find that you don't want to hang out with people who are talking negative anymore. That may not be part of your good, your goal. So they may, you know, fall away a bit because you won't have as much in common with them. You'll be achieving more of your goals. But it's a repetitive daily routine that's needed.
You know, when I wrote about affirmations, I told people 28 days, affirm the same thing over and over again, and it becomes a different thought process in your brain, and I assume a different neural pathways. Is that about the time that you think it takes to establish a new neuropathway or not?
I think that I advise people to spend 30 days practicing what I've written about for, you know, every day. Then what I believe will happen is that they're going to feel some sort of sense of mind modifying it slightly to be more personal for themselves. And that's fine. But this is a practice that you need to do every single day. And if you reach a goal, for instance, you know, in one of my companies, we're a young startup, and I happen to have a goal of sales revenue for $400,000. Well, when you reach that goal and you're growing, you just get bigger and bigger goals. This process of success is a system. It's not a hit and miss. It's not a, you know, get-rich-quick scheme. It's a system for success that will take you through the rest of your life.
We're talking with Mae McCarthy today. We're talking about her book, The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. Mae, you write in your book about the fraud factor. Can you explain that to me?
I sure can. The fraud factor happens when you have a goal that's beyond your rational mind. When you can't reason as to how that goal is going to manifest, how you're going to achieve that goal, you can sometimes feel fraudulent. For example, I have a friend of mine, a woman who had taken some of my workshops, and her goal, she's a scientist and gets paid six figures, and she's very, very good at research. But ever since she was a little girl, she loved to sing. And her family would have her sing at parties, and when she was in college, she'd go and do karaoke with her friends, and, you know, just love singing. Well, she decided that one of her goals was going to be a paid singer, not as a full-time job, but on the side. She wanted to be paid for singing. She wanted to be able to perform in front of large audiences and have a great time. So she started writing out that I am so grateful that I am now using my skills and talents in singing to entertain wonderful audiences, and I have such fulfillment and satisfaction and joy in doing so, and I am financially rewarded for doing this. So she was writing that out every day, and after 2 months, she called me and said, "Mae, I feel like such a fraud. I'm going to give up on this goal." So I explained to her the process of creating a new belief and behavior, creating this, you know, strengthening a new neural pathway. And why this is important is because your brain remembers all the times that you've had goals in the past and you were disappointed because you didn't reach them. And so oftentimes, in order to protect you, your brain is essentially not allowing you to see these intuitive and subconscious messages. The only time that your brain's going to allow you to do that is when you can finally see that it's a possibility. And the way you get there is through repetition. So I asked her to please keep up the practice. You know, just keep it up. Keep that as a goal. Keep writing it out, reading it out loud. Imagine seeing yourself on stage. Do that every day. After about 6 months, she was invited to a charity event. And she was at a beautiful home, you know, some mansion somewhere, and they were raising money for a charity. And she looked over in the corner and saw a trio playing. There was a singer and two musicians. And she watched that singer. And she thought to herself, you know what? I could do that. Now her rational mind says, okay, now that you see that it's possible, I'm going to allow intuitive leads and subconscious messaging to come through. So she kept up with her practice, and she was introduced to somebody else who invited her to another event. And at another event, this man comes walking up to her to introduce himself, and during the course of the conversation, mentions that he has been charged with putting on a community event and has a budget for entertainment. So her gut is yelling at her. Her gut is just like beating from the inside saying, tell him you're a singer. Tell him you're a singer. So she blurted that out, and he invited her to come and audition, and she got a part.
Wow.
And that was the first of many paid events that she's had since then.
Back up.
The repetition takes care of the fraud factor. You're going to feel fraudulent if it's a goal that's beyond your rational mind thinking that it's possible.
Back about 15 years ago, I wanted to be a professional singer and earn money from singing part-time on the side and everything like that. And I went to a conference in Baton Rouge, and they had entertainment type possibilities after dinner and everything. So I got up there on a stage, and I said, who has a nickel or a dime in their pocket? And there were two or three people that said they did. And I said, pass it over. I'm going to sing for you. And that was the first time that I got paid for singing. I'm not sure.
I love it.
I'm not sure, you know, the fraud factor, how that worked into that, but I actually did get paid a little bit for doing that. I remember I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, so I took a job for $1 doing a comedy show for the Lions Club after their dinner. And it wasn't much money, but at least I could say, you know, I've done that once in my life. And
yeah,
if you've done it once, it you could do it again, and you could do it for more money and everything. I think it's a mindset that you need to get into about possibilities of things.
Well, you also have had great success and seem to have no fear. Most of us do have some fear, and often that fear that pops up is that fear of failure. I mean, even with me writing the book that I wrote, the only reason I wrote it was people that were coming to my workshops asked for it. Because I tell a lot of stories of application in my workshops, but I don't write them down. I just give them a workbook to use in the workshop. And so I was asked to write the book, and I had the fraud factor. I mean, I've been pretty successful in all of my ventures in lots of different industries. But the idea of writing a book, I mean, I was fearful of failure. And I had to use the same exact practice in order not only to write the book, but also to achieve a bestseller status.
Well, over the last number of years, since 1980, I've written 39 books and published them. But I've never been financially rewarded to the extent that I thought that I should have been. But that's okay, because I got something out of writing those 39 books better than money. A feeling of being able to create and to help other people in various walks of life and everything like that. So if the only thing that you think is going to make you feel like you're not fraudulent is making money, I think you're thinking about it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Your goals, the reason my book is called The Path to Wealth, and the subtitle, you know, it's essentially recommended by my publisher, but The Path to Wealth, for me, wealth means whole and complete, lacking nothing in every area of your life. So in addition to finances, that would be your relationships, your health, your use of skills and talents in remarkable and fulfilling and satisfying ways, your recreation, and your spiritual connection.
Absolutely. May, we have 3 minutes left, and the subtitle of your book is 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. Could you quickly and lightly hit those?
Oh, gosh, yes. You're going to do the first 4 steps in the morning. And that's going to take 25 to 30 minutes. You need a journal or a spiral notebook, a pen, and something uplifting to read, maybe one of your books. You'll take 5 minutes to read something inspirational and uplifting. You'll take 10 minutes to write a gratitude letter and word your goals as though they're already complete with gratitude. You'll spend 5 minutes reading that letter out loud. And then 5 minutes doing a technique that many professional athletes and musicians and other successful business people use, which is to imagine seeing yourself in your mind's eye in the completed goal. Then you go throughout the day and you expect and watch for leads, for intuitive and subconscious messaging that will point you along a path to achieve your goals. And when you get a lead, you celebrate with someone else. Make sure that you're documenting the proof that this practice is working. And then at night, the 7th step is to, just before you go to bed, you want to say whatever it is that you're grateful for that happened during the day that's on the top of your mind, and then use a forgiveness or giving forth prayer to release anything that's taking up room within you that is not serving you so that you can make more room for the good that you want. Those are the seven steps.
Wow, that's really great. And get a copy of May's book so that you can get the details of those seven steps. If you do that, your whole life will be different than if you do not. May McCarthy.
And for your listeners, if they go to my website, they can download the first three chapters for free.
Great. And your website again is?
MayMcCarthy.com.
Right. And you can get your books on Amazon and other places?
It is. It's on all online retailers.
Okay. Well, we're down to the end of the show, May, and like I told you earlier, Share Your Mission has been going on for over 16 years to bring the truth of the matter of if you have a mission, a purpose, a destiny, you'll have a totally different experience on this planet. What is your mission, your purpose now?
Well, since I was 12, my purpose has been to bless others and be blessed. And it's been refined since this book, and that is to elevate prosperity and freedom for all.
Absolutely, a great mission. May, thank you so much for your time today and for all your thoughts. Get a copy of The Path to Wealth. It's a great book. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wynn.